good afternoon once again, everyone. I'm Chad Holmes. It's hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Well, the weather, it actually got a little brighter this afternoon. I actually saw almost some little bit of sunshine earlier, but it looks as though we're going to have to get those snow shovels and snow plows off because a winter storm warning will be going into effect early tomorrow morning, and we're expecting some significant snowfall. To get all the details on what to expect with this winter storm, we're joined again from weatherology.com by our meteorologist, Ray Miller. And Ray, I just said to you off the air that over the last day or so, every time we've seen this forecast, it's got a little worse in terms of the snow potential. Where do we stand right now?
Yeah, as we get more and more details on this storm, it looks more and more like we're right in the bullseye for the heavy snow on this one. That winter storm warning goes into effect at 2 a.m. We'll see a little bit of snow before then. This afternoon, still cloudy, high around 30 degrees, light northeast wind. Light snow and freezing drizzle early tonight, then heavier snow after midnight. 4 to 5 inches of snowfall by daybreak with a low temperature in the upper 20s and east winds at 5 to 10. Snow tapers off through the day on Thursday, but another 2 to 3 inches of snowfall. So you do the math there. We're talking about 6 to 8 inches in total. Temperatures topping out in the upper 20s with gusty northeast winds. Friday, cloudy, 25 for the high temperature. Saturday, mainly cloudy skies, high around 25. And Sunday looks cloudy as well with high temperatures again in the mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Ray Miller in the Weatherology Weather Center.
So, Ray, it sounds like basically for this storm, much of it will be in the overnight hours. And then when do you expect the snow to taper off completely tomorrow?
Yeah, it'll taper off fairly quickly. Still some lingering snow showers in the afternoon, but most of the moderate to heavy snowfall will start to wind down by about mid-morning or so. But that morning drive is going to be pretty rough tomorrow morning.
And actually, it looks like we may get some breezy conditions as well, which never helps during the snowstorms, does it?
Yeah, a little bit of blowing snow with this. It's not as much of a concern because the snow is going to be fairly heavy and wet. It's going to be kind of that slushy snowfall. So once it's on the ground, it'll stay put. We're not going to have a lot of blowing snow after it's fallen. But while it's coming down, some reduced visibility with the blowing snow is a possibility.
Okay, Ray, well, thanks for the information. I'm sure we'll be in touch and talk again tomorrow.
I'll see you then. Take care.
And right now in Wausau, we're waiting for the snow to arrive. The temperature is 33 degrees under overcast skies. The winds out of the northeast at 8 miles per hour. Dew point is 24, relative humidity of 70%, barometer at 29.96 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. Time is coming up on 3:10. A quick reminder, don't forget, I'll be back in a few hours once I'm done here at 4 o'clock. We have the Devil's Advocates from 4 till 6. Mike and Dom will be on the air, and then I'll be back every Wednesday back from 6 till 8 p.m. for the big high school sports show. Jeff Gress and myself talk about high school basketball and hockey, plus special guests. Tonight, our guest will be for the coach guest at 6:20 from Lakeland Union High School. They're a girls basketball coach, Melissa Womet. She is also, during her playing days, the all-time leading scorer at DC Everest back when she was Melissa Smith, graduating 1 year before I did. So remember when she was just one of the top performers in the state of Wisconsin, and now she has a couple of daughters who are likewise doing big things at Lakeland. So we'll talk to Melissa Womet at 6:20. And then our student athlete guest coming up at 7 o'clock tonight from DC Everest, and a UW Green Bay recruit, going to be playing D1 basketball at UWGB starting next year, Marcus Hall. So again, Marcus Hall at 7, Melissa Womet at 6:20. Show is from 6 until 8 p.m., big high school sports show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And then after we're done, we have Marquette basketball, another big one in the Big East for Marquette as they take on Providence down at Fiserv Forum. Tip-off just after 8 o'clock tonight here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And also, again, a quick reminder, make sure you mark your calendar for next Thursday, the 26th of January, Civic Media $1 Million Advertising Giveaway. If you or if you know a business, small business, medium-sized business, large business, we are giving away, no strings attached, a total of $1 million in advertising across our network around the state of Wisconsin. It's a minimum of $5,000 up to $20,000 for each business that signs up and qualifies next Thursday starting at 9 a.m. You can sign up. some rules apply. The big rule is it has to be a Wisconsin business. We aren't trying to spread this out outside Wisconsin. But if you're a business around here in central Wisconsin and you would like to get your message out there, sign up next Thursday starting at 9 a.m. You can check out all the details at our website, civicmedia.us/million. civicmedia.us/million. And make sure to let everyone you know that you heard it right here on my program, because the boss is going to check it out. They want to know who's listening to who and make me look good. So if you sign up, make sure you indicate that you heard it on the Chad Holmes Show and not somewhere else on Civic Media. We have to take a break again. 3:12 here on this Wednesday afternoon. Winter storm warning goes into effect at 2 a.m. tomorrow, goes until 6 p.m. tomorrow. And we're going to loosen things up a little bit. I'm so serious talking about politics all the time. We're going to talk a little sports coming up and talk about what Aaron Rodgers said yesterday. I'm going to talk to Paul Michalik about that, talk about the Bucks, the Badgers, MU, and a whole bunch more coming up next here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.
To be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together. I've got some real estate in my bag, so we put a pack of cigarettes on Mrs. Wagner's.
Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. The time is 3:16. Joined in studio. Nice to have someone to talk to. I live in my little world here. You know, I wander around peeking into offices, wondering when I'm going to run into another human being. But coming into studio today is Paul Michalik. He is the head football coach at Newman Catholic High School. State champs again this year, back-to-back state champions. And but also, nobody knows their Wisconsin sports like you do. I got to say that much.
I've never heard you say that. How did that taste coming out of your mouth?
I don't know.
You've never said anything like that. Nice.
I don't think anybody knows seedings for girls high school volleyball better than you either. So, but I wanted to talk about Wisconsin sports, and I think start off with the Packers, because obviously it was weird last week going into the whole week where you're kind of not thinking about football because they weren't in the playoffs. It was an odd week, and then, of course, all the action over the weekend as well. What was your overall takeaway this season? Were you shocked? Did you see things that just made you scratch your head? What was your general impression with what Green Bay did this year?
You know, during our football season, there's other things to worry about. So you kind of just watch as a fan, and we're always watching as a fan, but I'm not really paying attention as much. You watch the game and things like that and read the paper and keep up. But, their defense wasn't quite what they thought it was going to be. And that started it off at the beginning of the season, all the way probably until November, mid-November, mm-hmm. with the
Philly
Eagles game.
Yeah. Yep.
And then they got some turnovers, and really that's the nature of the game is they started winning the turnover battle, yeah. and I think that kind of skewed it a little bit of that.
Real quick on that, I do think that 4-game winning streak was skewed because number one, you played a Bear team that basically put up the white flag early in the season. And then I don't think they beat Miami unless they had a concussed quarterback in there, because Miami scored 20 points in the first half. Then Tua got concussed. Yep. They didn't realize it. And every throw he made after that got worse and worse and worse. And the Packers took advantage of it. And I mean, it was one of those situations where I think they were very fortunate that they had a concussed quarterback. Cause I think if Tua is not concussed, they probably lose that game. It is pretty much over at that point.
Then it would have been over at that point. And I do think that they had special teams that played better during that stretch.
Yeah.
And they got that turnover battle during that time frame. I mean, they beat a Vikings team that was a playoff team, you know, during that stretch. And the Rams were playing better at the end of the year, despite what they were missing. So I'm not going to take it away because winning is winning during that time frame. But on the flip side, to have the game at home for the playoff spot kind of was par for course for the season.
I was going to say that a new tradition for Green Bay is losing the last game at Lambeau Field with everything on the line. Man, I mean, for a number of years here, it's just where all the chips are down in the middle of the table, and they'll flip up a couple of deuces and you lose it. It's odd that they just can't seem to win these home games. Looking to the future. Yesterday, it was interesting to hear what Aaron Rodgers had to say. He sounds like a guy who's a foot out the door to me. It's not all his decision, but at the same time, he certainly opened the door, I thought, yesterday. Is that what you thought?
I really looked at that one comment, and people, you know, nowadays we like to jump on comments, you know, social media about things. And
talk radio.
And that's what it's for. But his comment about even the people around him, he has MVP season in him yet. Mm-hmm. The question was asked that way. You know, he was just basically asked, can you still play at an MVP level? Right. That's how he answered the question. And so that's one thing. But on the other side, if we don't know that these guys are – he became great because he was self-centered. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's why we enjoyed
him. So many of them are.
So many of them are. So if we think that they're not, we're kind of in fantasy land anyways, mm-hmm. to begin with. So it's almost to the point where you kind of just got to take those things and kind of wash them off. Now, do I think, I think they got to prepare that he's coming back. That's my take on it.
And I thought, and again, I am not a capologist. It sounds like if they do move him, whether through trade or whatever, there's a huge dead money hit. I mean, I know that the salary cap is gone up because of the TV deals and all that stuff, but it still would be a situation that would be, it would make this extension they agreed with him a year ago look terrible.
That's why I think that when that contract was made, and I think from the Packers' standpoint, it was a 2-year contract.
And also, when he signs it, he committed. So for him to bail now would be a bad look. Green Bay, I don't think has an obligation to do what Aaron Rodgers wants.
Correct.
They got to do what's best for Green Bay.
Correct. And the more I don't want to say annoying thing that I was looking at was the week of the Detroit game. A question came up and like, this could be possibly your last game at Green Bay, and he answered it. That's telling me that his foot might be somewhere. I don't know if it's at a different place or if it's at retirement, but that scared me that week.
Yeah,
when he said that.
What's your head? I mean, your head should not be thinking that. You should never have thought it.
Correct.
Because you're in the middle of a game that you need to win to get to the playoffs. That shows an issue with his head on where it should be.
That was my concern. I agree.
Besides Aaron Rodgers, I guess, between now and training camp, what do you think Green Bay has to do?
I think he said it, and I don't think there are that many players away from it. And there's some things, you know, I'm going to bring up the play calling. Now, I know that you would love if they hired his brother. He would hire his brother. you would love that.
You know how I love nepotism, right? Yep,
yes.
Oh, brother.
I mean, but I do think that they have to do something with the play calling. I mean, some of those.
His brother should be picking up the athletic supporters in the locker room after the job he did with the Jets, but that's a whole.
But the thing is, though, and I'm going to try to be fair.
You shouldn't fall forward.
That was a tough situation.
You shouldn't fail forward, though.
Correct. And I don't. In this situation, I think it would be a terrible decision if he did that. But
they'll bring back Hackett.
And again, was that the situation? I mean, sometimes I think talent carries over. I mean, let's be honest. Rodgers is a good player, and he was MVP for those years. Sometimes I think it gets overlooked. There's certain things that I go look back and play calls. The fourth and one. they did, and they did a sweep with Lazard. I have an issue with they did a quarterback sneak later on in the game, that they're out thinking themselves in the situation. And I want to say that quarterback sneak was less than when they did the, it was only inches when they had to do it. There's certain things like that, because I'll be honest with you, these guys are professional coaches. They know more than all of us, and that's a fact. So I'm not going to, but when there's certain things that come out and you see, in that Giants game, when LaFleur was asking Rodgers what should we do? What should we go? And you could see it, and you literally can read his lips. And he did it again against Detroit. Mm-hmm. Should we punt or should we? What should we do? And that, I don't think those decisions should be. That's what you get paid money for.
Exactly.
I mean,
I don't recall you asking your quarterback whether you'd be punting or going for it. should we do?
Should I do that? We should see how that ends up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or you can turn to the crowd and say, what should we do?
I mean, it was just, LaFleur does do a great job of getting the crowd.
I know how much you enjoy that as well. Paul Micklick joining us here on the program. Let's talk about the Badgers, because obviously Wisconsin made the big change with the head coach and Luke Fickell coming in. Tell you, everyone's getting really excited about what he's doing with the transfer portal. What do you think?
Well, you know the guy that's taken the most heat in the state of Wisconsin, Chad? Who do you think's taken the most heat because of what he's doing?
Paul Christ.
No. Well, yeah, he probably is up there.
Oh, Greg Gard.
Bingo. that's yeah. Not because...
Yeah, yeah.
I personally thought that. Yeah, and I think you were the fickle. I think that was a good hire.
Yes, it was a good hire.
I
would not have fired Chris in midseason, but in the end, it looks like it's worked out.
He had a plan. Obviously, I don't know if that plan did happen until, because I don't think you would have probably put Jim Leonard, because you kind of were setting yourself up to be a goat with that decision.
Right.
But it's a great decision. I think it was a great, for recruiting purposes. The offense coordinator that he brought in, the guy seems like he's confident, and obviously North Carolina scored some points. Mm-hmm. And the guys that they're bringing in, I mean, it's buzzing all over the place. I mean, I think I read last night they're eighth in the transfer portal rankings, or now what they had. Those rankings are probably more important than the high school rankings.
Did you get that from Sully's college football page?
I just talked to Sully. He misses you.
He does.
He does. I just literally talked to him. And
one of the many shows I've been doing. So it's like I need.
They
a
all run together.
They all run together. Number eight.
Number eight on that. So I mean, they're getting guys in there that are explosive kind of players. I don't think that star stuff matters as much.
Right.
I think it's the explosive stuff, and these guys are explosive players. And I think the transfer portal probably nowadays is more important than the rankings, because these guys have actually proved it. I mean, that quarterback that he proved it at a high level.
The SMU kid?
Damn, SMU kid. And then what about the center from Cincinnati?
Yeah.
He was an All-American. I mean, these guys, he's done it. These guys have done things before. So you're talking about, you're not hoping that you develop them. These guys are developed already in this situation. And that the receiver, the highest receiver out from USC, I mean, they got guys coming in all over the place. And I don't think the cupboard was bare to begin with.
No.
And I think these guys can coach. I truly believe.
Fickle's shown that. To get to the national semifinals at Cincinnati says it all right there. He's earned it, too. That's what I like. He did it. The problem I had with Jim Leonard, not that he wouldn't be a great coach, but I think it's important to build a program, to show before you get to that level where they're asking you to be a national championship contender. Because you don't fire Chris unless you think we got to take that next step to the national championship level.
And look at their schedule. I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of but they got Washington State, probably one of their toughest non-conference game. And then their crossover games, if you were picking their crossover games, this is from Sully's College Wars page. So you look at your non-conference and you look at your crossover games. The crossover is Ohio State at home, and then you got Rutgers in Indiana. You probably, if you ask for two teams crossover, those are the two teams you would want to have.
Exactly,
play.
Because then you have one game. If you win it, you put yourself in position to do it.
Yep. I mean, it's going to be, I don't know about you, but I think Fickell he's a Midwestern guy. Everything he said during the course of the time, it's professional and it's good.
Got to take a break. We're going to come back. I'm going to ask you about Greg Garden Badger basketball because a few losses, the glow went away real quickly, didn't it? We'll talk about that coming up as we continue here on Bow Falls. Welcome back. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. The time is 3:33. Again, a weather note. Winter storm warning goes into effect for our listening area starting at 2 a.m. early tomorrow morning. Goes until 6 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Expect most of the snow to be through by the end of the morning tomorrow. 5 to 9 inches of total accumulation, much of it in the overnight hours. So again, your morning commute may be a little bit hairy tomorrow, but we'll have more details coming up on that. Again, joined by Paul Miklik talking about some Wisconsin sports. Badger basketball, and actually we combine them, Badgers and Marquette. Of course, we have Marquette tonight at 8 o'clock against Providence, one of the rare teams that's knocked off Marquette during the course of the Big East season so far.
In a good game.
It should be
on the road. I mean, that was a good game on the road, right, in the overtime.
Right, exactly. So coming to Fiserv tonight, Badgers snapped a losing streak last night. It wasn't easy against Penn State, but they were able to hold off the Nittany Lions at the Kohl Center. Wisconsin was actually a real feel-good story early. I don't think they were picked, I think, ninth in the Big Ten in the preseason rankings, and they came out and had some good wins. I'm still annoyed they won at Marquette because
it's a huge win for them.
It was a huge win, yep. And but people get on my case when I mention on my social. I said, I want Marquette to win every time by 40 over Wisconsin. Oh, how can you do that? Whatever. But Badgers were off to a great start, had Tyler Wall out for a little bit. He came back last night. What's your take on Wisconsin? What do you think? How good is Wisconsin?
You know, first of all, Chad, what do you think about no school tomorrow? What do you think? What do you have that? Do you have those predictions on this on in here? Come on, you got the weather. You should say, do we have chance for no school tomorrow?
You know what I would say real quickly? Back when I was going to school, we would be going to school tomorrow. Today, they're going to cancel. When we get old, it's always back in my day, we would have gone to school. But nowadays, nope, they're going to cancel. Do you get to make that decision?
No, I don't. That's why I was asking your prediction. I'm going to have to look in that weather.com. There's a snow chance of snow day. You can get anything
always,
on the internet
nowadays.
It's
always on Thursday, though. Last month, it was Thursday, back-to-back Thursdays.
And you don't like that.
I know I don't like that.
You would prefer Wednesdays if that happened, because that wouldn't affect you then.
Right, because I would trudge my way in no matter what.
Yeah, yep. But going back to the Badgers last night, I mean, part of it watching them is you have to be a certain kind of fan and a certain kind of person because, man, they make everything look difficult. That whole game, you're sitting there and it's a point here, point there, because they're going to keep those games close. Now, you look at their whole overall schedule that they did, that Dayton win early in the year, that's going to be one that they put in the bank. They're leading the Atlantic 10 right now. You got the USC. I think they're in second place with a 6-2 record or 5-2 record in the Pac 12 or whatever that is now.
You know, the game that's going to stick out like a sore thumb, though, is that Kansas game they should have won.
They won.
Except for a bad call.
Except for when the guy was out of bounds. And they didn't call it. But we don't want to
criticize the officials.
Yes, never criticize officials.
They try, and I know that every Friday night during football season, that's what you say. They try.
They try. They're giving an effort. They're doing it for free. Kidding. The Wake Forest loss is looking a little better now at home because Wake Forest is doing pretty good. So they got some wins there, but they need last night's win. They need it with the schedule
yes,
they got coming up, and now that it looks like they might not play that Northwestern game on Saturday.
Yeah.
Looking at their schedule, they need that win. They need that win. Penn State, that's a good ball club. And I'll tell you, they're the oldest team. You know, they always use Wisconsin as the oldest team in the NCAA. Now
well,
Penn State is.
Well, since 84-year-old Brad Davison finally left after last year.
Hey. I, you know that I that I'm a fan of him and not
well,
fan.
Well, you know, I'm not
he's
a
good
fan
guy.
Of him.
He's a good.
Yeah, well, I know because he did treat your kids really well.
Well, I mean, he just. But if you look at all the stuff he did, though,
I know.
I mean, he goes into the hospitals and stuff like that. You can't look.
But he kicked Joey Hauser below the belt.
Well, but the thing is, Joey Hauser now is like the new Brad Davison because he's like he's the guy his doctorate I think from college and stuff. He's been there for a few years too. And I'm not, this is all in fun, just so everybody knows.
We're just, off on a tangent here.
So that was a Penn State was coming in. They needed that game too, just looking at their schedule. But there's a lot of teams. Man, you look at that schedule, there's nobody in the Big Ten that's bad.
Right.
I mean, Minnesota just went to Ohio State, and they're in last place in the Big Ten. And Minnesota's a good ball club. And they could beat you. And I think they just lost a tough one the other night. I think they started pulling away at the end. But you got Purdue. You got Michigan State almost beating Purdue. I think Wisconsin would have had that win against Michigan State if they had Wall. And that's why it made last night's game doubly important because they got to win those home games and then you got to sneak a couple on the road and there you go. Now you're 12-8 and now you're looking good. So
and if you play that well in the Big Ten, that usually means you're probably a 7 seed or better. You're not one of the lower seeds.
And they shouldn't be. I mean,
right. But that's where you have to get. You don't want to be one of those lower seeds.
But you got to, and I know that people aren't going to, but you cannot tell me that, and I'm not going to the people that bash Greg Gard. You know, the guy just won 2 in the last 3 Big Ten titles. What do you want from the guy?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, Greg Gard has done an amazing job, to be honest with you. I mean, what he's done and what he's accomplished during his years at Wisconsin. But you're right when you mentioned earlier that when you see what Fickell did, it does put heat on him. It puts heat on Tony Granato, the hockey coach. It puts heat on everybody at Wisconsin except for the women's volleyball coach who's always winning big time.
Yep,
but
yep.
Everybody else is like, holy cow, we better pick it up on the recruiting trail.
Yep, and that's what – and that would be probably the one – if you want to say downfall of that Greg Gard might be like in that past Wisconsin recruiting for football, that they're getting the guys that fit the system because that's how they play. And he doesn't get those stars but I thought Steve Carell last night was amazing. I thought he was really good. I thought he's been good actually probably for the last 5 to 7 games that down low, he's really been good. Now he got against Indiana, he got eaten up a little bit, but he didn't have Wall on the other side. They don't have the depth. They don't have the depth of most teams because they're not going to get those guys that are going to come and sit the bench at Wisconsin. But I think everybody thought they were going to fall off the face of the earth when they lost Johnny Davis, and I think they're doing an incredible job. And you could throw UW-Milwaukee in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we got 3 teams in the state of Wisconsin that I think have a legit shot at going to NCAA tournament.
Yeah, Marquette has been amazing because, again, like Wisconsin, they were picked pretty low in the Big East Conference. It's amazing how a couple of years ago under Wojo, it felt like it was a team that was underachieving all the time.
Yep.
They felt like the talent was better than the results. Here, you got a coach in Shaka Smart who has yet, I think, to get the exact team that ultimately he's going to bring in because it takes a time to turn over a roster, but yet he overachieves, it seems like, both last season and this year, and the way they played at Xavier, even over the weekend where they lost, they played exceptionally well. It seems like every
Purdue?
Game...
Purdue? What about Purdue?
Right.
Yeah, Purdue earlier.
Even their losses, they're playing exceptionally well, and their wins... I mean, what they did to Baylor earlier in the season was, it blows your mind. But, I mean, this Marquette team has been so much fun to watch as well.
They are. And the thing you said that it's going to take some time with the transfer portal and stuff like that, it is going to be fast. I mean, because he's getting it closer, a lot closer where maybe 20 years ago it would have took 4 years.
At
now
least.
It's taken like 2 years. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and he's amazing. Honestly, I mean, what he's doing there too, that was a great hire.
He's changed the mentality, I think, more than anything else. And I think as a coach, you know that you have to have, you know, that overused term culture.
Yep.
You know, it looks like Shaka Smart really has a culture at Marquette.
And how they play and how they handle themselves. And it goes more than just this thing culture or that thing culture. It's the whole picture. And, man, do they have the whole thing right now. I mean, it's how they play. They play fast. He wants them to play fast.
Yep.
And they play fast. They're fun to watch. The difference between them and Wisconsin is when they have a 10-point lead, you feel like it could, or deficit, it can go like this.
Right.
and Wisconsin, a 10-point...
You're down by 10, it's over.
It's over. It's one way
or
the other.
You're down by 10, you're going to take the air out of the ball.
Correct. I mean, that's the difference. And so you kind of got to watch them as a fan, but it's fun watching them play because they're playing with defense, too. Wisconsin... They play good defense, but they're not forcing the turnovers. Okay, they're playing straight up defense where Marquette they're first facing the turnovers. It's like night and day watching those guys, but that just proves there's many ways that you can win basketball games.
And I think for Wisconsin, one of the most impressive wins was Marquette because they made Marquette look as bad as they've looked all year for most of that game. Marquette was able to come back in the second half, force overtime, but for the most part, Wisconsin made Marquette not look like Marquette that game. Against anybody else, they played really well. Against Wisconsin, they struggled for much of that game.
And that was the, if I'm not mistaken, they were coming off the Baylor win,
they were.
And Wisconsin was coming off the Wake Forest loss.
Yes, they were.
And I was thinking to myself, this might be a blowout. the other way.
And it turned into a blowout for a half Wisconsin's way.
Correct. So it's fun to watch those guys, and I know you're a big Marquette fan, so yep. you're a happy camper that.
And I like seeing Wisconsin. It's hard to root against a guy like Guard. He is truly a good guy. I mean,
he's a good human being.
Yeah, and I like that. And I said this on the air a couple days ago that the teams I like to watch, it's more than the laundry. I want to like the people that I root for, and I mentioned the Bucks. And there's a lot to like about these guys. I like the group that they got. And, I think for the most part this year have been pretty solid. Last night, again, Drew Holiday back-to-back career highs two nights in a row. Whenever you win with Giannis not on the court, and especially Chris Middleton still struggling, for the most part, the Bucks have done a nice job this year, haven't they?
I mean, you're talking about, I think, with the big three on the court at the same time this year, I think it's been like 130 minutes or something. It's some low number. The only concern that I would have is when are they going to have them all? Because they're going to have to mesh sooner or later a little bit.
Yep.
And you want to make sure that you probably get that first round game, first round at home. And then I don't think they really care. I mean, obviously, you would want the home court advantage all the way through. But when they went to the championship, they won some huge games, and then they won on the road. So
right.
I don't think they're worried about
that. Last year, they lost Game 7 in Boston, but that's not why they lost the series. They had a chance to win in Milwaukee in Game 6. They had already proven. So, that's about putting it all together. But I think we are just very lucky to be able to watch Giannis in his prime.
Correct.
I think that people need to realize that this is not going to happen again in our lifetimes, that we have the best player in the world playing in Milwaukee, and he embraces it. I mean, he's such a great guy and also an incredible basketball player.
Amazing. I mean, if you think and Holiday, like you said, the last two nights, and you got Giannis, we're pretty lucky.
Ageless Lopez.
People wrote him off two years ago.
He was done.
He was done, in a back injury. I mean, that guy is getting blocks.
Now he might be an all-star.
He's lights out, and you got Bobby Portis, and he
Bobby.
Does what he does, Bucket Bobby over there, and he puts the energy into him, and they got Allen. I bet you you're not a fan of Allen either.
I wasn't when they got him, but I've come to understand what he brings in terms of his outside shot when he's on.
And he hasn't been, there's a stretch there.
He's been talked about as a potential trade bait. I won't shed any tears if he's part of a trade to make him better.
Well, who, what do you think they need if they trade him? See, I just don't know if they know.
I don't know if I really want them to kind of break. I just think if they get Middleton back and they have Giannis playing well and Lopez and Drew, I think I'd be more fearful of breaking up some chemistry as opposed to getting much better.
I agree. It goes back to the Packers, and if anybody wants like them to, hey, I'm not a fan of Joe Barry. I know that's your buddy, Joe Barry, but the thing is, continuity matters. You know what I'm saying? And you got to give things.
They never should have got rid of Dom Capers. I tell you that continuity would have led to more Super Bowls.
Petten. What about Mike? You didn't like Mike Petten.
He was all right.
Yeah, but.
But he's no Dom.
No Dominator. Dom. How is Dom doing? Do you know where he is?
He's napping.
but that the continuity is a key thing
right.
that I'm talking about. So I agree with you. I don't think you break that up. It's one of those things where if they don't make a run and they're they're all together and they're healthy, then obviously you probably are going to have to make some changes. But I think go with what you have, because I think those guys, when they're on and they're together, that's going to be a good team.
Right, and they'll have a chance. I mean, there's some good competition this year. I mean, you know, it's not a slam dunk for the Bucks the way, I mean, when Brooklyn's healthy, they look really good. Boston looks really good. Philly's got great talent. I mean, it's not going to be
bad. Cleveland's good.
They got some good teams. Got to wrap it up. Thanks for coming in.
Chad, thank you, and you have a good day, and keep me posted about that snow day tomorrow.
The Wausau West hockey team continues their push for a Wisconsin Valley Conference Championship on Thursday night when the Warriors play host to Marshfield. Hear all the exciting action live on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening faceoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West Hockey on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, the Wausau West Hockey Booster Club, Sun Printing, Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, the Wausau West Athletic Department, the Wausau West Hockey Senior Class Parents, and Four Seasons Golf. It's Wausau West versus Marshfield in Wisconsin Valley Conference Hockey. Thursday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening face-off at 7 p.m. on your home for Wausau West Sports, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Thanks to Paul Micklick for coming in and joining us, talking some Wisconsin sports. Today is January the 18th of 2023. Taking a look at some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. In 1911, the first landing of an aircraft on a ship took place, as pilot Eugene B. Ely brought his Curtiss biplane in for a safe landing on the deck of the armored cruiser USS Pennsylvania in San Francisco Harbor. On this date in 1913, 110 years ago, entertainer Danny Kaye was born. He was born David Daniel Kaminsky in New York City. On this date in 1943, during World War II, Jewish insurgents in the Warsaw Ghetto launched their initial armed resistance against Nazi troops, who eventually succeeded in crushing the rebellion. On this date in 1975, the sitcom The Jeffersons premiered on CBS. Jeffersons was a spinoff from All in the Family. On this date in 1990, a jury in Los Angeles acquitted former preschool operators Raymond Buckley and his mother Peggy McMartin Buckley of 52 child molestation charges. On this date in 1993, the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday was observed in all 50 states for the first time. On this date in 2012, something that still annoys conservatives, President Barack Obama rejected the Keystone XL project, a Canadian company's plan to build a 1,700-mile pipeline to carry oil across six U.S. states to the Texas refineries. On this date in 2019, Jason Van Dyke, the white Chicago police officer who gunned down black teenager Laquan McDonald in 2014, was sentenced to nearly 7 years in prison. On this date 1 year ago, actually on this date 3 years ago, in 2020, ahead of the opening statements in the first Senate impeachment trial of President Donald Trump, House prosecutors wrote that Trump had used his official powers to pressure a foreign government to interfere in a United States election for his personal political gain, while Trump's legal team denounced what he called a brazen and unlawful attempt to overturn the results of the 2016 election. And 1 year ago today, AT&T and Verizon said they would delay launching new wireless service near key airports after the nation's largest airlines said the 5G service would interfere with aircraft technology and cause widespread flight disruptions. Looking at some famous birthdays, former Senator Paul Kirk of Massachusetts is 85 years old today. Singer-songwriter Bobby Goldsboro turns 82. Actor-director Kevin Costner is 68 years old today. Former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley is 60 years old today. Comedian Dave Attell turning 58. Actor Jesse L. Martin of Law & Order fame is 54 years old today. Former NAACP President and CEO Benjamin Todd Jealous is 50. Actor Jason Segel turns 43 years old today. Tennis player Angelique Kerber turns 35. And if you out there celebrating your birthday today, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And before we wrap it up, I have to remind you again that a winter storm warning goes into effect at 2 a.m. early Thursday morning, 2 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday winter storm warning. Heavy snow expected to move in during the overnight hours and then continue into the morning and then taper off by early afternoon tomorrow. Total snow accumulation of 5 to 9 inches expected in portions of central, north central, and northeast Wisconsin. This winter storm warning in effect for the entire Bow Falls radio listening area. So again, be aware for your morning commute tomorrow. It should be a rather nasty one with the heavy snow in the pre-dawn hours, resulting in very hazardous conditions as you drive to work tomorrow morning. Don't forget, coming up from 6 till 8, I'll be back. Again, Wednesday is busy day. We have from 6 till 8, the big high school sports show. Jeff Grass and myself talk about high school sports, high school basketball, and high school hockey, plus special guests. At 6:20, we'll be joined by Lakeland Union girls basketball coach Melissa Wimette. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll be joined by the outstanding senior boys basketball standout from D.C. Everest as we talk to Marcus Hall. Again, that's 6 to 8, the big high school sports show, right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Well, that's going to wrap things up. Stick around. Coming up after a news update, Mike and Dom in with the Devil's Advocates from 4 till 6. Thanks for joining me here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.
Sometimes you're better off dead. There's a gun in your hand that's pointing at your head. You think you're mad, too unstable, kicking in chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police, there's a madman around, running down underground to a dive bar in a West End town.
In a West End town, a dead end.